introduce yourself a little better than I did.
Okay. Well, welcome. Hi, my name is Tracy Delaney. I'm here from San Diego County, so for those of you that are new to San Diego, welcome. We're having great weather. I work in the public health services with the county, and I run the chronic disease and health disparities unit for our public health services. I wanted to speak to you today about some of the multi-sector work that we're doing, particularly in terms of youth engagement around childhood obesity here in San Diego. My background, too, just a little bit, is nutrition. I have a doctorate in nutrition. I'm also a registered dietitian. And on the fitness end, I am with the American College of Sports Medicine certified as a health fitness director. So I'm hoping to bring both of those kinds of skills to help with the childhood obesity. So just by way of background, here in San Diego, in 2004, under the leadership of our Board of Supervisors, they supported the fact that we create a childhood obesity master plan. And we did that by having expert consultations, we had community conversations, and we did an extensive literature review. And finally, in 2006, we unveiled what the results were and the recommendations for that, and that is our Childhood Obesity Action Plan. And what resulted out of that was a public-private partnership and our Childhood Obesity Initiative. And the model that we used to frame that and has been very helpful in terms of our partnership has been the ecological model. And I think that when I went to school and we were studying nutrition and first getting in public health, we really focused on the individual and families. And I think what's exciting about this is that we really are expanding into the neighborhood environment, the design, we're working with businesses, and really looking at policies and environmental change. So that is the focus that we're working on with the Childhood Obesity Initiative. The structure of it, I think, also reflects the multidimensional partnerships that we have. We have seven domains that include government, healthcare, schools, childcare, faith-based and community-based organizations, media and marketing, and businesses. So I happen to be in the co-chair of the government domain, and so I wanted to focus on one of the particular projects that we have through the government domain and through the Obesity Initiative. And the idea for us is to really focus on environmental and policy change. And the question that we're asking ourselves, does the environment actually support healthy choices? We know we want people to be physically active, we want them to eat healthy nutrition, but can they really access these things in their neighborhood? Are things designed really more for the car where they are, and they may not have a car? Are things, is there access to healthy produce, and is it possible to actually make healthy choices? So the particular project that I want to talk about is Communities of Excellence. It's a CX3 project, and the concept of this comes from the state of California, and it's based on the Network for Healthy California. And the idea of this project is that you engage community to really look at their own neighborhoods and assess what are some of the assets, the strengths, and some of the gaps in their neighborhood. So the CX3, the three stands for nutrition, physical activity, and obesity prevention. So what they're doing is they're looking out in their own neighborhoods. After they gather that information, they select some kind of an advocacy issue, and then they go ahead and create an action plan to work on that. So when I heard about this, I was very interested. I thought, oh, this will go very nicely with the government domain and some of the philosophy that we have with the Childhood Obesity Initiative. So I called up Valerie Quinn up at State, and I wanted to find out a little bit more about the CX3 project. She was very gracious and talked to me a lot about it, but she also told me I had missed the funding cycle. So that was one of my first challenges, is I didn't have any money to do this, but I really had the motivation to want to do it. So she said that she would be happy to still offer the TA and offer the resources. We just weren't going to get any money. And I said, well, great, I'll take you up on that, and I'm going to connect with people here in San Diego and see what we can come up with. Well, I was very fortunate. I came up with two very dedicated sites and some great partners. The first one was paired up with HEAC, which is the Healthy Eating Active Community site in Chula Vista here in San Diego, and that's funded through the California Endowment, also looking at environmental and policy change. So the coordinator of HEAC here in Chula Vista is Tanya Rivera Osterwalder. So she was an enthusiastic lead for the Chula Vista site. The other site that I was able to con into doing this was La Mesa, which is here in East County in San Diego. And they'd had a little bit of a track record looking at city wellness policies, so I thought that they might be ripe for some kind of a connection like that, and they certainly were. And I worked directly with Yvonne Garrett, who was the community services director. So what we decided, though, through our partnerships, is that we really, instead of just community engagement, we really wanted to focus on youth. And we wanted to bring youth into this equation with multi-sector partners. So you can see here from the list, just starting off the bat, even though we had no money, we really did engage a lot of different partners. We worked with our Health and Human Services agency and their East region and their South region. We worked with the Parks and Rec in both cities. We worked with the community advocacy group Walk San Diego. And we just already at the beginning had a lot of people that were interested in looking at this. The goals that we had for this project were to build the knowledge of the youth. We wanted them to really understand what these issues were about obesity and nutrition and how their environment and their community really affected some of the health choices. We wanted to increase the community capacity. And we wanted to really develop future leaders. We want to be able to kind of have a mentoring environment so that the youth can really kind of take some of these issues on into adulthood. We had two different types of mentoring strategies that we based on the communities. The first one in Chula Vista is we worked youth with and paired them with promotoras. And that was a model that they had been using before in HEAC, so the community-based workers. In La Mesa, we had the inspiration from our aging and independent services, and we did an intergenerational mentorship. So that was the approach that we used in La Mesa. We were very fortunate because although we had no direct funding, I was able to provide a student worker, a graduate worker, who was able to coordinate and bring some of these issues together. We all dedicated some time to work on these issues. Through HEAC, generously, they had some technical assistance, and they were able to bring some trainers from state to come and really educate the youth weekly on some of these issues. And we would bring the La Mesa youth down to Chula Vista, and we would together work and really have some of these education sessions. They learned how to do an assessment. They learned how to do some advocacy. How do you work with elected officials? How do you write letters? So that was part of the training in addition to just the basic kind of nutrition and physical activity education. So they went out into their respective neighborhoods. And they were looking at things like how many fast food restaurants are there, what was the marketing for food products available in their neighborhood, how was the walkability. We really, since we didn't have the funding, we created our own surveys with Walk San Diego and Samuels and Associates to really look at how safe was it to walk in the neighborhood, access to parks and schools. So then the youth would gather this information, and then they would decide and identify on some kind of an advocacy issue. So this was part of the shared process. And they created their own action plans, what they were going to do, what was the plan. So what did each of the projects do? I wanted to briefly talk about the directions that they went in. For Chula Vista, what the youth identified is that they had a park in the area, but it wasn't being used. It felt intimidating, and it wasn't being utilized by the community. So Lauterbach Park was the advocacy issue for the youth in Chula Vista. For La Mesa, it was the fact that there was a lack of connection of sidewalks around their high school. There were either no sidewalks or there would be sidewalks for a couple of feet and then no sidewalks. So those were the two issues that the youth separately decided to work on. Let me talk just for a few minutes about Chula Vista. This is what they saw when they first were doing their community assessment. They saw fenced-in areas, they saw damaged areas. There was one entrance into the park, so people felt kind of caged into the park. There was a homeless population, so people did not feel comfortable going into the park and utilizing it. There was a lot of tagging, open drainage systems, and vandalism. So this is what they saw, and it wasn't a type of park that was drawing community activities. People were staying away from this. It wasn't helping in terms of increasing physical activity for the community. Here's a close-up of the open ditch that they had, and a remarkable kind of after what it looked like when they were able to seal that up and how that looked. So one of the things when the youth were looking at kind of the opportunities and what they wanted to do is that they knew the city was investing some time and some money into making repairs onto the park. But they saw this as an opportunity to really advocate for the changes and the things that they wanted to see. So in addition to things like a tot lot, which the city was going to do anyway, what they were able to bring in that was new to it was a drinking fountain. There was no drinking fountains there. So all of a sudden, it's a place you could actually go and hang out and be if you were a teen, because you could actually get something to drink in the summer. A walking path, that was not something that was part of it. And the youth sat down with the city, and this was a dialogue. This was something that went on back and forth, and they worked with the Parks and Rec, and they went on field trips, and they saw what other communities had in terms of parks and rec facilities. And so they were able to work with them. It was a very collaborative kind of relationship. Another kind of unique partnership that they did in Chula Vista is that they worked with the police department. And so the concept is crime prevention through environmental design, and the idea that the way that you create the environment really helps to reduce crime. The youth talked with the police, and they were able to actually get increased lighting. They were able to get a lock on the door. They were able to start looking at having more community policing and to have more events there. Because the more that people are drawn in socially into some kind of a recreational area, the crime will go down because people are there and there's a social connection. So I thought this was a very unique partnership for them. So with all of these great, after all these great dialogues and these discussions, they actually had a rededication of the park a couple of months ago and drew in the community, had events, and Tony had said something about challenges. I think that although this was very successful, and it really did embark on new partnerships and new dialogues, they were speaking with the elected officials, there was a lot of back and forth and positive work, and they did make changes to the park, what they're realizing is that the built environment alone isn't enough, and some of the next steps and the things that they're looking at doing is really making this a social network and social connections. So they're working on, with the community, adopt a park. They're starting to have more community events to draw people in, to really feel some ownership there. They're working with the Chula Vista Community Collaborative for different events. And I think another kind of intriguing partnership is that there's a church that borders on the park, and they're working with that church in terms of maybe having a community garden and pulling down the gate fences and really kind of having more of a shared community. So I think those are some of the future directions that they're looking at with Chula Vista. So what about La Mesa? What La Mesa did, as you might remember, is the youth had decided they wanted to work on the actual walkability around their high school. And so this is what they saw there. They saw long stretches where there were no sidewalks or sidewalks a little bit for a few feet and then no sidewalk at all. There was poor lighting. They interviewed the other students that were walking there and they found that they weren't really comfortable in the evening walking there. There was no lighting. There's little or no vegetation. It gets pretty hot here during the summer, and that, they were very aware of these things because the summer is when they did the assessments. No shade, and then when there were sidewalks, there oftentimes there would be poles, right? You know, the telephone poles right in the middle of the sidewalk. So these are the things that they decided they wanted to advocate for. So what they did first is they partnered up with the city has a youth advisory commission. So they worked with the other youth trying to get support. They also kind of helped them refine their speeches and what they were going to talk about because they wanted to go and talk to the elected officials and some of the decision makers. They went and did a presentation to the Helix Charter Board. And they were about to undergo some changes and direct funds for the parking lot. So they were able to actually integrate some of their recommendations into this project with the school board. They were very receptive to that. They had sit-down meetings with some of the city planners and the traffic engineers to really discuss the issues that they had around the school. They made a presentation to their city council. and that was very well received. They did a presentation also to the Grossmont Healthcare District, which had provided some funding for La Mesa to have a coordinator. And they had also actually funded for the children to go up to Sacramento to meet their state representatives and talk about some of these issues. So it was a great learning and situation and advocacy. They also, the youth for the La Mesa CX3 went in with the city in terms of putting in a Safe Routes to School grant and put in a letter of support. These are the things that they saw. They used their technology and they had a visioning of what they, this is what they saw, this is what they wanted to see, and they used these in the presentations. They used storyboards and they were able to share these in different lobbies. They had the idea of using a website. They wanted to use the technology and the city allowed them to do that, so they were on the websites, and they still are for La Mesa. The accomplishments include that they did get a $550,000 infrastructure Safe Routes to School grant, specifically to work on the area around Helix. The City Council did adopt a sidewalk master plan after the CX3 youth had presented to them on these issues. Helix High School is scheduled to make those improvements in terms of the pedestrian access, and I recently saw the mayor of the city make the commitment for undergrounding all of the utilities and the telephones, and he cited the CX3 findings and equity issues in terms of making that commitment for the city to underground those utilities. And in terms of sustainability, or how do you keep these things going, one of the next steps that have happened is that the Youth Advisory Commission has now decided to take on this pedestrian access as one of their issues, and they continue on with that now. So I wanted to, one more thing is that last month the city did receive a gold medal award for the Governor's Council on Fitness for these activities. So they were highlighted and did receive a gold medal, and they were able to fly one of the youth and the community services director to receive that medal. So we're very proud of them. These are the shared strategies, trying to empower and engage youth. We want to team up with the diverse stakeholders. It's a complex issue, and each person had something unique to contribute to that. And finally, I just want to thank all of the team members. You can see what a diverse group of people this was. And this project reminded me of the story of Stone Soup, where nobody really had anything going into it, but each of us kind of contributed what we could, and it really was quite a feast and quite a delightful experience. So thank you.
Well, I think that was a really excellent example of public health at its best. I really do. And one of the most remarkable aspects of that is that she had no funding, really, which is not an unusual set of circumstances for many of us in public health. But to go from a situation of essentially no funding and to build this multi-sectoral and multidisciplinary partnership that creates this ongoing change, I think is a great example of how the new public health really has to work in untraditional ways with certainly a paucity of resources. But we all have to do this. We all have to educate people about obesity and some of the risk factors for obesity, but that's not enough. We have to work to change the physical environment and the built aspects of the environment. But as we saw, that's not enough either. We also have to change the way that our communities interact with the environment. And this whole notion of walkability, usability, social networks is a real challenge for public health practice. And then how to sustain that afterwards requires some real creativity. And I think this was a great example of that. And hopefully, you all will incubate some questions for our presenters around how you can distill some of the wisdom that they obtained from these experiences practicing this public health. Our next presenter is, let me make sure I don't butcher the name, is Jennifer Vanica, thank you, on San Diego's multi-sector youth